I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion. Fashion. Hey.
Happy New Year, Hags. We're back. This is the first record session.
Yeah,
2019.
We've had an episode out,
but this is the first time we've recorded and seen each other since the break. It's the Fashion Hags, episode 76.
We've already been talking for like an hour and a half and just started recording.
Might as well press record. Come on, we're too busy catching up on news and things.
Because it's been, what, 6 weeks?
It's been a long time because we banked a couple episodes before, mm-hmm. and then the holidays, and then now it's like mid-January.
It's really just flown by. Yeah. So nice to be back.
And
just
make it happen. Yeah, it's good.
Hooray. Happy New Year, recapping all of our...
I was going to say, our recap episode
was stories.
Fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Well, that was a good episode. I'm happy we did that one. So now we're just like, what the fuck do we talk about now? We're not going to talk about Christmas. Because we already talked about it. And also, it's coming out mid-January. Nobody cares about Christmas anymore.
No, we're done with Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas in S-A-D. We're done.
New year, new hag.
New year, new hag.
Well, same hags.
New year, new hashtag.
Hashtag. Maybe that's our new hashtag.
Well, hashtag. Speaking of hashtag, here is what I've been up to. We talked about this before. I actually have not watched the show, but Instagram is littered.
Every social media.
Totally yes. littered with, what's her name?
Maria Kondo.
However you do it. So I...
The magical art of tidying up.
I've been wanting to like do a purge and get rid of a bunch of shit just... Anyways,
sure,
I want to get some new furniture in my bedroom, yeah. so I want to get some storage.
Well, you're motivated by getting your couch too, right? And you got rid of other things to make room for your awesome couch, which then leads to you looking around your apartment being like,
maybe
none of this, is of the same caliber as this wonderful couch anymore, and I'm a grown woman.
Yeah, this like secondhand IKEA
hand-me-downs. Yeah.
Maybe it can
you're like
go.
The fourth person to own.
Yeah.
Because they were just left at a house that you live in roommates board. With.
Yeah. No more plasterboard, no more cracked drawers. I want a solid wood drawer, please and thank
with
you.
A nice
with a
handle.
A nice slider.
Yeah.
A silent where you push it and then it just does that little...
It doesn't slam.
I don't mind if it does that. I don't need that, but I need a solid material. Yeah. Wood preferably.
Or like you accidentally like just pull it out of the whole thing, like old kitchens where you just pull too hard on the silverware drawer and the whole drawer picks out. Been there.
Oh,
old rental kitchens I've had in the past. I'm like, well, all the cutlery's
well,
on the
I
floor.
Guess that's what I'm doing today, yeah.
Woke up the dog with the clatter. Sorry. Oopsies.
Anyway, I went through not my whole closet. I didn't even get to the closet part of my closet.
You gotta work your way
dressers,
up to the closet.
I managed to clean out an entire drawer, which means that my husband now has a drawer that he can keep his... things in, which is nice.
How magnanimous of you.
You're welcome. So that was nice. And I got rid of a bunch of, well, I haven't got rid of it yet. I don't know if I'm going to donate it or do I don't really want to do a clothing swap.
Sure.
But I want to see it go
or
somewhere
sell it
good.
Or something,
so I don't know.
Yeah. But find it's a good out. Charity for it or something.
Yeah. Maybe.
Downtown Eastside Women's Center.
Yeah. Maybe I'll bring some stuff down there. Actually, I have some shit stuff that I can just bring to some Sellian or whatever that's like,
this bye. Is just crap. Get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah. But there's some nice, that's a good idea. That's what I'll do. I'll bring some of that down. But yeah, some nice scarves and stuff. And I'm like, I don't wear this. I don't need it
in
my life.
Someone else can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be better for someone else than it is for me.
Yeah.
So I went through and got rid of a
it'll spark
bunch
joy
of
in somebody
shit.
Else.
Yes. Someone needs some joy. I need to get rid of this. Dead weight. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. My God, it feels good. Get rid of stuff. Now I want to do like a bookshelf purge that I've been threatening my husband with for quite some time.
Yeah.
Because all the books are his, unfortunately.
So you can't just go in and make...
But
honey,
you know what I want to do?
You get a drawer now, but we're going to get rid of all of your
we're
literature.
Gonna get rid of all, like, so what I want to do, this is my plan. I thought about this today. It's a little bit mean, a bit sneaky, but what I want to do is go through everything and come up with the ones that I think we should keep.
Sure. That are meaningful or special or cool or whatever.
These are the ones that I think we should hang on to.
Yes.
This huge stack.
All this other, all this other bullshit.
This is the stuff I think we could probably get rid of. Now you have to defend these.
Yes. if you can legitimize, yes.
If you can, like, I'm going to sit down and you tell me why we need to keep this one and I'll be open to
it. Is there a particular title that you have in mind that you need out of your house?
Theme.
Okay. There's a whole genre.
There's some Tom Brown that I don't need in my life anymore. Tom Brown grandfather. You know who Tom Brown is?
I only know Tom Brown, the fashion designer.
I was going to say.
No, he's like...
I think I can see the name on like the cover of a book on a paperback.
He wrote grandfather. I think his name is Tom Brown. And he wrote this stuff of like, I'm not a native guy, but this guy I knew was a native guy. And here's all the stuff I learned about
him. Native expert.
Kind of thing. Like,
maybe you guys can bring those books to a bookstore and get indigenous literature in exchange.
Yes.
There you go.
That's a great idea.
Or just burn them.
I can't burn them. They're my husband.
Even I.
There's just a whole section of books that have
my
come
radical
from
native
his,
ass was like, yeah. Burning books.
No, I'm not going to burn anything. But there's a whole section of books that has come from his mom, who I love dearly, but I don't need all of the self-help metaphysics. Do you guys know Banyan books in the city?
Full of witches.
Banyan books.
Full of witches.
In
white witches.
My house.
Yes, I was going to say.
There's a couple native witches in there.
Oh, in your collection?
No, in Banyan.
In Banyan books?
In Banyan?
There's a couple.
Yeah.
They are vastly outnumbered.
Yes.
But there's a lot of like transcendental meditation and vegan cookbooks and all this shit. And I'm like,
it's weighing me down. You're not a Regine Lightyman with this shit around you, my friend.
It's not bringing me joy. It's not. It's collecting dust on our bookshelves. So that's what I think I'm going to do. And I know Chris is not going to listen to this podcast. So I think this, I'll let you guys.
Cauliflower bites do not give me joy. I want wings.
No, give me the chicken.
Give me chicken wings.
Yes. Yeah. Give me that greasy pizza recipe. That's the one I want. Yeah. But anyway, now I'm like, since I got this nice couch, like you say, I'm just trying to upgrade
everything else to match it, right?
Everything else to come up. So that's the plan. There's a great,
that's the part of adulthood you've reached.
Yes.
Right? It's getting rid of all the IKEA stuff as much as you can and hand-me-down shit.
Yeah.
Choosing your own furniture.
There's a guy locally who
stuff
finds
that you like or have made or whatever, right? Mm.
There's this guy who goes to old like estate sales, and I don't know where he finds all this stuff, but he finds all these great classic mid-century modern like Danish antique gorgeous furniture.
I probably follow him on Instagram.
Dan's Vintage Finds.
Yep.
Yeah. So every once in a while I'll like send like a direct message to my husband and be like, did you see this coffee table?
Do we need this $3,000 teak armoire?
Do you think you guys
could make
your dream drawer?
Well, we're not going to make a dream drawer, but we are going to make a coffee table. We've started the coffee table already on the island. We've got to get that
father-in-law's workshop. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So we're going to do that. But I really want a nice big credenza for the TV room.
Stuff. Yep.
And I think we're going to move all the pictures from one wall into another big wall and repaint and upgrades. I'm entering adulthood officially at the age of 34.
And you guys love your apartment and you know you're going to be there for a bit, so you might as well.
Yeah.
And something like painting the walls, like... It makes such a huge difference too, right?
Yeah, he asked me today, he's like, are you interested in color? Like, would you be down for color? I'm like, well, yes, but
within
reason.
And then I was lime green or anything.
Yeah, but. Like, let's be reasonable. But I was like, I was kind of just thinking like white. I know that's a crazy idea, but
then the art is the interesting part.
Yes. And then you get,
and you have color elsewhere.
A bunch of really cool pillows of this really cool fabric that you found or that you picked up on your travel to Japan, for example.
Yes. Oh, maybe that you've been planning.
Or like this cool rug that we got when we were in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
And make that work. And then those things you can also
let all of your memories and all of your art stand out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Those things that bring you joy.
Yes.
Your memories and your time together and these specifically curated items.
And then maybe you can take
something
out of the Abby Campbell Shimka playbook and just have a beautiful statement moment.
Something,
right?
Sure.
Yeah. Just like a little wall or some tile or a wallpaper or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can have a statement wall.
Yeah.
A fabric wall. Oh my God.
I don't have enough walls for a fabric wall, but.
There was in Will and Grace, Grace always loved upholstered fabric walls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
And actually, like when they did them on the show, it was like, okay, that actually looks
good. That actually looks good.
I thought it sounds very like Rococo.
Questionable, yeah.
But
sounds very Palace of Versailles, but not in a good way.
Yeah. Makes you think of like carpeted walls from the 70s.
Yeah. Like a Chanel bag from like Canal Street, like shoved on someone's wall.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. No thank you.
No bueno.
No.
Well, that's wonderful.
But yeah, that's me. That's what I've been up to.
There you go.
Yvonne, what about you?
I've been a business woman.
That's right.
An important business lady.
On business.
Doing business.
My holiday was pretty much non-existent, which I don't mind. As you know, I've gone to great lengths to peel myself away from the clutches of Catholicism, mm-hmm. and not giving two shits about Christmas.
Really helps.
It was really freeing this year.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I didn't have to go to church this year. Thank God.
Ooh.
Hallelujah.
And I didn't have to go to church the last time we did too. Fuck, it felt great.
I never go to church, and I'll tell you right now, it always feels great.
So I didn't buy anybody any gifts. I just bought lots of food and lots of alcohol.
Smart.
And brought it to my friend's
and
place
spend time with
and
you,
cooked
yeah.
food for people and
consumables,
drank.
Consumables, that's the way to do it.
Experiences and consumables, yes.
Yeah. Nice. Well done.
And I did an eye. I wore a skirt.
That's right. I saw some of your images.
And then I kind of, which is shocking, I kind of spearheaded the meal in a way.
Oh, wow. That's
which is shocking.
Not at my house.
Evan is the type that keeps sweaters in his oven, as we've discussed.
I can buy you a beautiful dinner. I can curate a beautiful meal. But
you will not be the one making it.
One, on the other hand. There was a couple of... phone calls to Meme.
Sure. That's what they're there for.
There was
a couple of quick messages. She wants to put the ham in here and we want to eat here. Is that enough time? No? Okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to
figure this out. Yeah. There you go.
Because everyone is either uninterested, uninformed, or incapacitated.
Sure.
They're severely hungover.
Yeah,
and couldn't
no help at all.
Couldn't slice a carrot to save their life.
Yeah,
you know. So it's just like I was like, okay, Evan,
like here, honey, open the crackers.
Evan, you're
in the other room.
You are the oldest person in the room.
Pour this
you
bag
might need
of
to
chips
take,
into a bowl.
Yeah,
and take them over there.
I'm just like set the table.
Yeah,
yeah. You guys set the
just
table.
Just make sure everyone has a fork.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pour me a drink.
Yeah.
Could you just go over there and pack me a bowl, honey? That'll be nice. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, so I shockingly did that, and then thank God, like when things started to get crazy,
get rolling.
Every like the oven was on, and there were two different things in there.
All the burners are going.
All the burners are on. Then my friend's boyfriend, who owns a restaurant, came in. He's like, "Okay, guys,
it happen.
Get out."
Nah.
So I was like, "Great."
And
I was like, I was obviously like a little like, I was like,
imbibed.
I was hitting. I was
a couple of drinks deep. Yeah.
I had copious libations at that point, and I was just like, oh, no skin off my ass.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I've been enough of a hero. So getting it from the kitchen to the table was not my doing. It was just like making sure everything was
set. So you prepped everything, but did
I was sous chef.
You set up the pins, and then they knocked them down.
Oh, it was buffet style, darling.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it was buffet
style.
That's
the way to go. And if that many people and a bunch of useless tits?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
the
way to go.
Yeah, it was nice.
Work. Plating shit for people.
Yeah. And other than that, I've just been going crazy as the CEO, sole employee, head of production,
CEO, CFO, COO,
head of online development, director of marketing,
product development,
director of human resources,
design coordinator, assistant,
head pattern cutter, stylist, head stylist,
email answerer,
head
web store server,
head of finance,
office management.
Office management,
middle
shipping
management.
Department, most importantly.
Yes, gotta get that out. Gotta make
shipping
that happen.
Shipping and receiving, accounts receivable, accounts payable.
Warehouse, those invoices, baby.
International relations, client relations. Yeah.
So you've been busy.
Just a bit.
Just a little bit. Business lady.
But I'm excited. Like, it's a lot of work, but... with this whole like 2009 to 2019 thing that's been on Instagram.
Oh yeah.
I was like looking through all of my photos from 2009.
You are glowing up, my friend.
And I was just like, this bitch with the blue contact lenses and the pimply skin and the Le Chateau acrylic gray and black striped cardigan.
Yes.
Cardigan.
Yes.
The only cardigan I own now is a Wings and Horns cashmere black.
It's beautiful.
With a little finger, like gauntlet moment.
Yes.
Thank you very much. But yeah, it's like that person would have never thought that I'd be being able to support myself just off of my brand. That this person a year ago never would have thought that I would be doing this.
Yeah, too, right?
Exactly.
You're
still,
you're still young. You're still a spring chicken.
Oh, right. Yeah, thank God.
Thank God you are. You have the energy for this. I don't. I've tried it. I was like, no, thanks. Too much.
I can't.
I'm just gonna do the cutting and the sewing and the pattern making and the construction and that kind of stuff.
And if you want one,
somebody
let me know.
Else, yeah, do the marketing. I'm just and lucky that like selling all that shit.
I'm just lucky that everything is connected with my brand. The marketing is so clear to me. The branding is so clear to me.
And it's getting clearer as you go, right?
The way I want to interact with my clients and the way my clients interact with me, like I'm making sure that that stays consistent throughout every experience. Because like, I know I was a whore. Like you, as the listeners, longtime listeners know, I was never really a good salesperson in retail. I could really care less about anyone's needs. I was there for the money because I needed money to be able to live in Vancouver, to be able to keep doing
my work. To make your own shit.
Yeah.
On the side. Get that side hustle going. Mm-hmm.
But it's different when like it's my product. And I guess I obviously care more about my product than I did about any of the people I was selling clothes for who really didn't give a shit about me or any of the other people that I was working under or
work with.
Or leading.
Yeah.
Whatever stage of my retail career.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Not to say that it's not always sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, but yeah, and then
it's ebbs and flows.
It's ebbs and flows, and it's also...
And it's easier to swallow the hard bits, right?
Yes, because it's especially now, because it's like
suck it up while you kind get through it.
Not to say that I've come across every obstacle. I've come across every obstacle to this point that I thought was the most terrifying. And now it's like,
good, then.
The things that are terrifying to me are things that I never really thought of that I would have to do, like dealing with customs and dealing with all shipment and like all of that bullshit.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But
the good news about that part
to have.
Yeah, is that everybody deals with it too. Mm-hmm. You're not alone on that. It's not like you. It's not like you have a specific Evan Ducharme branded problem that only you need.
Only
to
you have to struggle
and find
through.
The answer to.
Yeah,
whereas like everybody needs to ship something across the border. You just figure it out and then you do it. There's tons of resources.
Yeah,
you just do it.
You just need to find them and figure out what applies to you specifically.
You
and
just ask one of the 10,000 other people who also have to do it. For help if you need to, and you just do it.
Case in point, Ms. Kate Garna.
Me, ask me.
She's jumped through many hoops involved with shipping.
Yeah, no,
she
thank
can
you.
Fill out a FedEx form in her sleep.
Oh my God, like you wouldn't believe. I know all the shortcuts now. Here's a good one. If you're filling in the if you know the postal code or the zip code, if you're doing to a US address, don't put in the name of the city first. Just put in the zip code. The city name will pop right up.
You're welcome.
Type out
my gift to you. You're welcome.
You're back and welcome.
I wish I was still. I was at the point where FedEx was coming to me to do pickups.
Oh, you have to go to.
I have to
that's
go
because
it's only like
it's a volume based thing.
Yeah. I don't do enough volume like
to merit them coming to you for pickup. You have to go to
my
FedEx
shit's expensive,
office.
Therefore it takes longer to make. So we only ship things like I don't know once a week.
Sure.
You know. So.
Anyway. Like at our office where there's constantly things going in and out
it's
all
like
the time.
This piece that we're shipping on Tuesday and the piece we ship next Tuesday, they might have been ordered like 4 or 5 weeks in between
a month
one
apart
another.
Or something.
So
it's
not like the delivery is only 60 days out from the day you purchase it. That's just what you agree to when you order from me.
Right.
So it's not like everything needs to go out.
On Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes out when it's done.
When it's done. When it's ready.
Or when the deadline says it needs to be
exactly.
done.
Exactly.
All those kinks get worked out pretty quick. And they're all just the same kinks that everyone else has to work out.
So. Yeah.
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 Same thing.
Abby, what's new with you? What's going on?
Well, to just briefly touch on the Christmas vacation. The first week, one of my kids got very sick and made everyone miserable.
Oh, no.
She was the most miserable, but we were all very miserable as well afterwards.
Poppy got sick, right?
She got sick, and her birthday is December 24th. Yeah. She was super sick on her birthday. Still managed to choke back a bunch of DQ ice cream cake, though. She's got, I know. I like how this girl operates.
I hear it cures what else? Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's what I've been told.
So works she was sick, and then, but thank God she pulled it together in time to be shipped off to my parents. Because at the end, I'm like, bitch, you better, on the 29th, you better get this...
You better be done with this.
Because you're going to grandma and grandpa's house, and I need this.
I already needed it before you raked us over the coals for a week. I really need it now. And then they might be up. Went over to my parents' house. They had a week there. They had an absolute blast. Very grateful my parents. They knocked it out of the park. Insanely so. And then Dave and I stayed home. Amazing. And we did not, my main thing was we did not cook anything. We didn't make dinner ever. We ate out every night at a different place. High-end place. Like we had ramen one night and sushi or whatever. Like it was nothing special. Went to the Italian place, Savio, which we are in love with.
Oh, Savio Volpe.
And we haven't been to in a year because of our fucking kids. Because our kids are goddamn nightmares in restaurants.
Did I talk about that on my birthday? Because that's where I went for my birthday. And it was so fucking good.
My favorite restaurant in the entire city.
Oh, it's so good.
It is so good. So we went and had a lovely dinner there. And then we had one fancy dinner. It was New Year's Day. That's where we could get a reservation. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still eating at 5:30 because that's when my body tells me I need to eat now. Mm-hmm. All these, you know, 7:30, 8 p.m. sittings for dinner. So I'm asleep. I'm eating chips by then.
Yeah.
So we have 5:30 sitting at Hawksworth downtown, which is like,
ooh, fancy. La la.
So fancy. And we're getting ready to go. And I was just wearing like, I got an Everlane sweater, a little cotton Everlane crew neck sweater in a lovely pink and just blue like dress pants. Nothing fancy, but nice still. Mm-hmm. I'm not wearing a dress or anything.
Put together.
Yes. I'm not a dress person, so I wouldn't really wear a dress. But, and then Dave starts to get ready and he puts on his nice jeans. Like he takes off his like distressed jeans that he wears all the time. And he puts on his like dark wash denims. And I'm like, oh, you're wearing jeans? In a little bit of a shitty voice. I'm like, are you wearing jeans? You're not wearing that, are you? And then
he's like, is that what you're wearing?
Is that what you're wearing? And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know. Like, this is our chance to like wear some nice. You have nice clothes. You fucking love clothes. Dave is a fashion whore. Like, he loves clothes. Like, wear your nice shit you wear never get nice to wear.
Summer dress that you got last year.
It's your kinky summer dress.
Put so on I was like, heels. Okay.
So he puts on a nicer pair of pants and like button down shirt and whatever. And he doesn't wear a tie or anything, but you know, dresses up nice. And then we get there and we're waiting. There's a couple ahead of us waiting to be seated at the little, you know, host desk. And Dave looks at the guy and goes, and silently like goes, check this asshole out. And it's a guy in a baseball cap and a distressed t-shirt,
ew,
jeans and high tops.
Okay.
But it like fashion distress, not like hobo distress, obviously.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just shake my head. I'm like, don't you even. And then we realize that it's Kobe Smulders and Taron Killam, famous Hollywood people. He starts fucking talking. Asshole. My ears perk up. I'm pretty good with voices. And I'm like, oh, shit. Those are fucking celebrities. And then, like, I wait for them to go get seated. And then, as when it's there out of earshot, I'm like, no, 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 no. He does not apply. Because he's got some Hollywood bullshit happening where he thinks he can just show up with whatever.
He gets a Hollywood card.
Yes. Mind you, it's also, Dave's argument was Vancouver is a very casual city. Like, you will go to, like, four-star restaurants and people will literally be there in board shorts.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it.
And yoga pants.
And a nice flip-flop. Times.
A hiracha.
Many times. Ugh. Yes, like you put on like makeup and you are too fancy for a lot of these places. So that was Dave's argument. I'm like, okay, yes, granted, I'll take you that. But also, we never do this. So shut the fuck up. Put your nice pants on.
Yeah.
But then we were and then they sat away from us and we overheard them be overheard her say, how can we have the cocktail list? We need a little bit of the hair of the dog today. And I'm like, oh, you're super hungover then. Good for you.
Good for you. That's
and I know they have two kids, too. And I'm like, those kids are not here, and you are hungover. Good job.
Well Salim. Done. You're like, we're in the same boat. Our kids aren't here either.
And I'm having two $16 cocktails. Yes, please. But it was a great dinner.
And
benefits of 5:30 seatings is that it's fucking empty. We had the place to ourselves for like the first 45 minutes at least. Nice. It was great. We didn't have dessert, but we had two courses and two cocktails each. And
bang a ring.
Treated us all fancy.
I've never eaten there.
I'd never eaten there either. The last time I was there, my sister-in-law got married there, like 7 years ago.
Right.
The last time. But I'd never, just in like the ballroom or some upstairs. But I'd never been. It's lovely and very pretentious.
Yes. That's why you like to go to these places. Absolutely. Every once in a while. Mm-hmm.
And there was so much staff.
You're not a part of this world. Yes. But you can step in it every once in a while.
Yes. And there's so much staff. And it was so choreographed. Like, you know, we get like to-go tacos. Like, that's our like eating out, right?
Yeah.
Like, we never eat in the restaurant. It's always to-go. And it's never nice. So going above and beyond and going somewhere extra, like literally we had like 8 different people fulfill some sort of job. The people who sat us and the people who gave us the menus and the people who gave us the water. Like, it's all different people who have different jobs and it's all choreographed and perfect. I've watched Restaurant Wars on Top Shelf. I know what it's like.
I once went to a restaurant.
It's the duck, right? You see the top.
Yeah.
The duck's just like,
yeah.
And you're swimming, and then underneath they're fucking screaming.
Yeah.
And soundproof kitchen.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I went mopping the sweat from their brows when they're out of sight.
Oh, no, I think they have someone to do that for them.
Yes.
That's a job.
That's someone's specific job before they head out onto the floor.
It's underneath busboy, probably.
So, yeah. So we saw a movie in the middle of the day. We saw The Favorite. It was great.
I got to see that
really
one.
Really enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Yeah, just watched TV. Just hung out. Didn't see anybody. Like, we were still invited to, like, Sunday dinner with Dave's family. And we're like, no, thanks. Goodbye. I see your assholes enough. I love you dearly, but no. We will see you next Sunday.
I want to be alone in my house. Thank you very much.
Well, because I know like all their kids are going to be there. Like there's still fucking 7 kids in our family running around. And they like me enough to think that they can come talk to me. No, thank you. I love you dearly, but no.
No. Auntie Abby needs a quiet night.
Yeah. Oh, and they invited over us for like New Year's Day brunch too. And David and I are like, no, thanks. Again, love you dearly. No, thank you.
But that's nice too, to be able to like really just enjoy your new house, just the two of you for the first time.
Well, that was the thing too. Like, we knew we wanted the kids to go away, but we were just like, well, we can like go stay in a hotel, even somewhere here in Vancouver. Like, we don't have to go somewhere to do anything. We thought about driving to Whistler, you know, whatever, trying to fly some, go to LA or something, somewhere close that's not crazy expensive. But then, of course, everything's crazy expensive at that time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were just like, fuck no, let's just stay home.
Yeah. You guys just built this beautiful house.
Yes. And have no kids in it.
Yeah. Amazing.
We got a bunch of shit done. We hung a bunch of pictures. I organized this giant bookshelf. I literally just emptied the boxes and just shoved everything on a shelf. And now they're all sorted and separated and organized. Perfect. All the little tchotchkes are all where they should be. It's great.
Good for you.
We made all the toys disappear, and then they all came back.
That can happen.
Yeah, the children's. Anyway.
We haven't even talked about anything yet.
We're not even getting to the actual issue here. We're trying to find something of interest. We've had a lot of like fun episodes recently. I'm trying to find something interesting.
Yeah, let's get not fun. It's time to get not
serious. Because we're about not fun on this show.
The fun stops right now.
So we had the idea talking about, because we always talk about sustainable fashion and being thoughtful in your purchases and trying to find transparency and ethical brands and things. And then after talking about that for 3 years and you know, Instagram feeds and all this, you know, media input we get, realizing that all ethical fashion looks the same.
Mm-hmm. It looks very, very similar.
All asterisks, like not all, but like
not all,
not all ethical fashion, but all ethical fashion.
Sometimes they use chrome hardware. Sometimes they do
sometimes
a rose gold hardware.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they use a pink
sometimes they
marble,
do like a nice leather,
a
nice leather touch.
Yes. So they go following all these brands and the ones that are making noise and the ones that are paying for the Instagram ads, I'm sure, right? All the ones you see. It's all the same shit again and again and again. And now it's been, like I said, it's been a few years that we're looking at this stuff and just constantly having the input of it in our brains and our minds and having it affect us or making us reject it entirely.
Thinking you've seen the same product over and over and over
again. The same,
again.
Quote, shapeless oatmeal that article in Fashionista I found that was released last October. A baguette with, I think, the I forget what the title is. We'll link to it, I'm sure. Why does all ethical fashion look the same? Why does so much ethical fashion look the same? Earth tones, neutral colors, and minimalism dominate the average ethical fashion fan's feed. But why is that? And who is getting left out of the equation?
POCs? So,
Yeah, I would say.
Who's not anybody, a skinny white woman? Yeah.
Anybody who is priced out of
buying ethical? Anybody who does not meet the financial requirements for said things? Mm-hmm.
And also you made a good point as well upstairs when we were talking about this, and it's not just that all of this looks the same. It's that the stuff that doesn't look the same either doesn't get shown the same way as eco fashion. Mm-hmm. It gets branded differently because it's done by someone who isn't a skinny white person.
Yeah.
Or
who's trying to feed into
it doesn't get
machine.
included in that conversation.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't have the same representation.
They're not on the same articles. They're not on the same websites. They're not sponsored by the same people. Mm-hmm. So they don't, you see them and you don't know that they are transparent and ethical and sustainable and interesting and paying people a living wage and all these things that we're trying to shift and think about more. We are just now so used to seeing neutral linen, boxy tops, and wide leg pants.
But I wonder now, having said that, I wonder if there is like
vanilla flavored minimalism was another quote. Yeah. I was like,
that's pretty
wrong.
Good.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, that minimalism vanilla with no edge.
Yeah, that's for real.
Yep.
But I wonder, like, when I go shopping or browsing or whatever, scrolling on Instagram or looking for stuff like that, I don't, like, search by eco fashion. I'll find something that I like that looks cool that I'm interested in, and then I'll do some research on who's actually making it and where it's come from. And if that fits my eco recipe. Mm-hmm. As we talked about.
Checks your boxes for you.
Yeah. Then
shout out to Miriam LaRoche.
Yes.
That is her eco catchphrase.
Recipe, yes. Founder of Eco Fashion Week. Then I'll, you know, look into it a little bit more seriously. But I don't search eco fashion. Like, I would never search. In fact, I just typed in eco fashion hashtag into Instagram for the first time. And it's, I mean, pretty white, I'll say for sure. But I would never use this hashtag as a way to shop.
Sure, as a way to acquire things for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Which sounds sort of backwards based on the conversations that we have in this sort of...
How we've all taken this to be a priority in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. And how we talk a big game about it.
Yeah, but that's not how I would... But I think part of it too is that that's how it's branded, which I don't usually... always trust.
Yeah.
Especially on Instagram.
Well, that's the thing. It's like a lot of these things, ethical, sustainable fashion, which are two different things. There are some overlap there, but not necessarily. Mm-hmm.
It can be sustainable.
And not ethical.
Be ethical.
And it could be ethical and not sustainable. Yeah.
It could be using organic cotton and not a lot
not
of water.
Paying people.
But they could be getting made in a sweatshop by four-year-old
by children.
Yeah.
Or the opposite.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
We're having polyester bullshit fabric made by people paying living wage.
Yeah.
Anyway, but there's no, like, solid parameters for these things. There's all these things, these words or these phrases that people use, like I had a couple that I thought of here, like, we don't offer seasonal collections. We just like make what we make when we make it. Well, that's just maybe when your factory has time to make it.
How is that? Shit. Explain how that's sustainable. That's fine if that's a choice that you've made for your company.
But great. Don't try to
spin
it.
But don't use that as a way to say that you're sustainable.
I heard somebody talk about how they use European fabrics.
Okay, lots of fabric.
Bitch, polyester can be.
Yeah.
Can be European.
Micro suede.
Yeah.
Holstein.
They make stupid shit in Europe too. Yeah. It ruins the world. Doesn't mean shit. Or like limited edition. I'm like, no, that just means you don't want to make more than 50. Or you don't have the ability or the cost or the manpower to do it.
Yeah,
but just because you use these words doesn't mean that you are doing it ethically.
Yeah, if you said limited
edition.
This
is marketing.
Because it's.
You could only get 500 yards of that fabric.
Yes. You made a connection with the wool supplier, and that is all the wool they have this year.
Or you're paying the people who are you're paying to do it get benefits, and they get all of these things for being employed by you, and you get, you know, they get treated like a fair, decent human being. That's why you only have 50, because it costs so much to pay the laborers. That, fine, great. Talk about that.
Yeah. Tell me that part.
Yeah.
Don't spin this weird shit to me and like play it as some like big decision that you've, you know, poured your ethics over. Like, no.
Or like Reformation is a brand out of LA, and they buy their fabric.
It's all dead stock and stuff. Right?
It's all dead stock.
Yeah. So it's like fabric that already exists in the world.
And that would be thrown out otherwise.
Yes, no one is using.
Yeah. So they are not creating a demand for their fabric, and they are removing it from landfills essentially to make
sure fashion. Warehouses or whatever, right?
Yeah. And they do cool stuff with their stores and their like headquarters and stuff are, you know, solar panels and the way that they use energy and recycling and all that kind of stuff. Like that's a major part of their top down system.
Yeah.
So good. That's great. Tell me more about that. That's great.
I would love to hear about that.
And Reformation does a good job about that.
Yeah.
Everlane is another company we've talked about a lot who does that kind of thing. But where is everybody else?
Yeah. And Everlane is like one of the best examples of this vanilla minimalism, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, and it can cut both ways. And I've heard arguments on both sides about why all this shit is so minimal and so earth tony and all looks the same is because if you are spending $400 on a dress, you're going to want to wear that sucker for a long time. You're going to want to wear it with a bunch of different things to justify the $400 plus price tag for these things. So they're not making it seasonal or trendy or, you know, something that can be dated or specifically attached to a trend or an area of something, right? They need that flexibility. They need that versatility to justify the high prices. But then, on the other hand, you see these other brands who are just as sustainable or ethical in another way, making cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
And figuring out a way, like there's a bunch of, I was reading some Reddit thread about this, all this shit in India that's happening. And it's all natural, beautiful stuff made in, you know, nice factories or people are paid a living wage, but it's bright and colorful and interesting. And white people won't buy it.
Yeah.
Please do better.
And it's that confirmation bias of, right, if you look for things that you think will fulfill this quote ethical, you know, reason or
this
whatever
need.
This need that you've decided, you're going to find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're going to dismiss all the other things unless you dig deeper and you do more Googling and you ask and inform yourself and, you know, don't do the hashtags.
Yeah.
And click around. And look for sources outside of your geographical location.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be hard to do, too.
Which is hard.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing, too, is when you're looking through Instagram, like if you're shopping by hashtag, which if you want to do that, fine, great.
I bet you can find some cool shit.
I bet you can find some cool shit. But look at, like, the color of women's and men's skin and the people who are actually modeling it. Look at the people who are making it. Yeah.
See the writings on the wall, children.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that Everlane does do. They have a lot of different people in their mm-hmm. e-com, in their branding, in their, you know, email lists and whatever. Like, it's all kinds of people looking all kinds of cool different ways in their clothes, and they all look good.
And the one thing that I, for sure, I do like, I really do like Everlane a lot because I try and buy sort of timeless classic pieces.
Yeah.
And then find the fun stuff to like fill it in and supplement.
Yeah, the accessories or whatever, right? That you can spice it up with.
Or like a fun print. Normally with me, I find a cool fabric and I have four patterns that I use to make shirts and I'll just make something for myself.
Yes.
Which most people don't do.
You just put it with your Everlane jeans or whatever.
And wear it with my Everlane jeans. Exactly. Or I'll
a good basic.
Yeah. Or I'll make a cool skirt and I'll wear it with this, you know, simple Everlane top or whatever.
Some vintage camisole or whatever you found or whatever, yeah.
And so that is one thing that I think Everlane is good at, and they do update their sort of classics that it's not the same every single time, but they're a good place to go back to if you know what you're looking for, you'll find it there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like if you need a good pair of high-waisted jeans, that you'll find them there. They're good. If you need a good cotton t-shirt, it'll be there.
Yeah.
You know, so that part is good. But if that's all you're doing,
yeah. As if you want something outside of that,
then go to look at India or go to look at these cool designers. There's some really cool stuff happening in like Namibia and in Ghana and different African nations. And there's got some good stuff there. They're doing good shit. There's some really cool prints and patterns and design. Like if you want color, you'll find it in Africa. Mm-hmm. Those prints and those, I can't think of what the word is, but the specific kind of fabric that they do. Batik, is batik? It batik?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the dyeing with wax and stuff. Yeah. They do it in Asia as well.
Yeah, that's right. But look, yeah, you can look farther, a little bit farther beyond.
And I was reading another argument about how part of the reason why they find things very like milk toast in the ethical fashion is sourcing is super difficult.
Yes.
And also finding things that are bold colors that you cannot get with natural vegetable-based dyes. Or they're not going to use sequins because they're fucking plastic. Or so these aren't the things that are interesting and cool and have personality that fuckloads of people love and look for. They aren't making the crossover to these like big ethical brands.
Also things like dyeing fabrics, as you say, that can be really problematic. Things like rayons and bamboos and stuff are not great. Some of those like partial synthetics.
Yeah. Or things like you can get the saturation of a really vibrant color with a natural dye on a natural fabric, but it will fade after use.
Yes.
Because that's just the nature of natural dyes is that it won't, and especially in something that you are wearing all the time, it is not going to maintain that. And people aren't happy with that. Mm-hmm. People will not be satisfied by that. And they're going to complain, why isn't this? And you're like, well, it was made from fucking beets. Like,
yeah.
This is just the physics of the world that we are living in. And that's just how it works. So unless you are prepared for that, this might not be for you. This might not be the $400 sack dress for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you think back to like the 14th century, it was a miracle if you even had one sack to wear. You know, it's just like
you had a sack. Where has, you were living
if you had
it up.
Two, you had like your nice one and your day one. It's just like, as a society, like fashion consumers have just got like they expect the moon all the time.
It's not just fashion though, too. That's the problem. It's consumption.
It's consumerism in general.
And fashion just happens to be an incredibly
fit in that
dangerous,
very well, yeah,
an incredibly destructive
it's impartial,
industry.
It's personal. It's
utilitarian,
destructive.
Yeah.
Utilitarian. That's another thing. Like everyone needs to wear something, unless I don't know. Suddenly, nudity and nudism just kind of takes over society, and it's suddenly fun, and nobody has any shame.
Unless you live in between the two, you know. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Like the middle part of the fuck. What's the word I'm looking for? Not the equator, but the other ones.
The Tropic of Cancer.
Yes, the tropics. Unless you're living in there.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's not an option.
Nope.
No, that is true.
Or some futuristic land where we all wear leather suits that we never have to.
That never.
Leather suits?
That changes the age. And,
you know, right.
Some like bionic shit. Well, we might not have any choice but to have to wear something bionic soon if the planet keeps.
Seriously.
Seeking her revenge on us for being fucking.
Bad children.
Bad children.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see. This came up in my feed last October. Where they have, started by a Canadian woman, I'm totally spacing on her name right now, but she started the 10x10 challenge, which is you have 10 pieces of clothing and you wear them for 10 days in different combinations. And it's just a way to shop your closet. It's a way to put different outfits together that you wouldn't particularly have thought of beforehand. And it's just a way to expand how you think about how you wear clothes and how you buy clothes.
Does that include shoes?
Sometimes depending on who you ask, it does, but it doesn't include underwear or it doesn't include underwear and it doesn't include like utility, like workout wear or anything.
Okay. Yeah.
And you can choose two pairs of pants and eight tops,
right,
or five pairs of pants and five tops or whatever, and a jacket and whatever. There's some loosey goosey rules about shoes and accessories and coats and things.
Right.
Some people are very hard fast with it.
Yeah.
But it can be tricky climate wise.
Yes.
A kicky brooch.
And where you live. Yeah. Kicky brooch. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. That's two out of the 10 right there. Two different ones, day and night.
Yeah. Two and a half, maybe.
But there was a big thing happening more. And it's nice to see on Instagram, particularly because people of color and BIPOC people are like becoming more prevalent and having voices and taking up space in the world, and people are hopefully starting to listen to what they have to say, and they're saying it louder to a bigger audience, which is great. They're saying if you do hashtag 10x10, it's a bunch of skinny white bitches.
Yeah.
And how that is not, that's not cool. And the whole, and part of the 10x10 challenge is it doesn't have to be ethical stuff. Like it can be stuff you already have in your closet. It can be thrifted. It can be handmade. Like whatever. That's not the parameter. The parameter is 10 items.
theoretically, they should be not fast fashion. Mm-hmm. But if you sneak in, you know, a Zara coat or something, mm-hmm. that's fine.
It's fine.
But trying to figure out how people of color fit into that and being seen and being cross-posted with other white people who just talk to other white people.
Right.
But that might have something to do with also with an algorithm. Like if you don't...
And that, well, that's
if,
the thing
if,
too.
Yeah, it's if like, you don't follow or like a lot of content created by POC content creators or influencers,
you're not going to be shown more.
Show up in your feed.
And you're not going to see the other people.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out... So that's when these discussions come up where you can say someone will... There's a lady I follow. Her name is The Constant Closet. I fucking love the way she dresses. She's like coolest stuff. Very much up my alley. Again, skinny white lady. And then someone posted, I forget who now, and just brought up the fact that it's like, you're tagging other white people in all of these posts that you're talking about this 10 by 10 challenge. And good job here. And check out what so-and-so is doing. Mm-hmm. Just like check out some other people who are doing other shit, mm-hmm. who have a different aesthetic and a different origin and a different geographical location than you. Mm-hmm. And she was super cool about it. She said, you know what? You're right. I'm doing this wrong. I'm going to be better. And she has been so much better. And then she connected me and all of her other people to a bunch of other cool Asian ladies and black ladies and Native mm-hmm. ladies and all these other cool people doing cool shit that is different than what my particular aesthetic would be, but I'm like very into. There's this one like Asian woman who works in like a lab. It's like the coolest style. I would never have come across her post had this huge discussion hadn't come up on these 10 by 10 challenges. So trying to get, because there are people of color doing this too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Right? And being in on it and trying to follow these ethical rules and things you're trying to set for yourself. They're out there. They're just hard to find sometimes because all the fucking white people are in the way.
Yeah. I mean, like look at something like Instagram. Like who probably creates these algorithms? Who do these algorithms favor? Like racism doesn't just exist societally. It exists in everything. It
everything,
exists in medicine.
And
it
you
exists
do not
in technology.
Know it's there.
Because it's just how it's bias has been created.
It's the default.
Yeah. Human beings create these programs and human beings are flawed. What are one of those flaws? Racism.
White people are inherently racist or benefit from racism.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And that's a very difficult
Once
thing
again,
for people.
Once again, for the people in the back. Yeah.
And that's like a very difficult thing for some white people to come to terms with is that they, even if they don't consider themselves a racist or weren't raised with racist tendencies, they still benefit off of the systems of racism. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is.
And they need to do better and they need to, it's a combination of shutting up and calling out. And stepping up and listening, right?
Yeah. Being quiet when quietness is necessary and being loud when loudness
when the opportunity arises. Exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah. And the work, yeah.
Another thing I came across was like the whole capsule wardrobe, which has been a big thing too, like buying less and trying to minimize these 10 by 10 challenges too is also an exercise in reducing your closet. But still having that freedom and that fun and that interest in your clothing and expressing yourself through your clothing. By consuming less and by buying less and by buying better.
That's what I tried to do primarily, yeah.
But then that's when all these other ethical brands show up because it's all versatile neutrals that can be worn a bunch of different ways. And as someone like me, I fall into this category. I don't wear prints. I don't wear bright colors. I have like four colors in my entire wardrobe, gray, black, pink, and burgundy. And that's like it. I got one red shirt. I got one purple shirt. And that's it. But then I'm forgetting her name now, Bonetta. Forget her name. She's a Colombian-American woman. She started Glam Capsule, where she just wears fucking rad, loud shit in the same ways. And like, yes, you don't have to listen to this boxy oatmeal shapeless sack over here on a human hanger size double XS.
Yeah. She has a nice marble countertop. She has a white backsplash. She has a fern.
A succulent. She's got a green leaf somewhere in there.
Yeah, a little big palm leaf or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
An artisanal coffee in a hand-casted mug.
Oh, in the cone, glass cone thing. AeroPress, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, that is very wealthy and white. Is a glass, clear coffee mug.
Oh, I hate them. Freak me out.
They scare me. I instantly feel like I'm going to burn myself.
Yeah, I don't want it. No, thank you. There's something about hot beverages in glass containers.
Yeah.
A clear
I shouldn't
glass.
Be able to see you. I shouldn't be able to see your burning ass.
Ooh.
it needs, I would rather a shitty dad coffee mug than a chic Tiffany glass coffee urn, whatever the hell they want to call it.
It's not going
to happen. No, ma'am.
But reading stuff like this, first of all, makes me realize that me personally, I fall into all of these tropes. This is my aesthetic and these are the like things
we said,
I like.
Like upstairs, we said, we're going to do a bit of self-dragging today.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, I am one of these white ladies who fulfills all that. I'm in the right place, in the right culture. My skin's the right color. I have enough money. My aesthetic applies. So trying to see that even though this isn't for me personally, knowing that it exists and telling other people that it exists is what is how I can make it better and figure it out. And
that part, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it would not be a choice I would make for myself, but I love seeing other people do it.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting.
And I think that's like from our point of view, we're such lovers of fashion and like what can be done with the medium that it like, just because.
And how meaningful it can be to you and someone else. And how different, like we were saying, like how different we all, just the three of us are so different from each other. And that's awesome.
Yeah, it could sound shady. It's like, I love that for you. That could sound shady.
No, but it's totally honest.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I would never wear
good for you,
marigold,
not for me.
I would never wear like a marigold yellow puffer jacket with like lime green track pants, but you look fire
in
that,
hey man,
honey.
Go for it.
Totally.
Yeah, but.
I went to a birthday party the other night and it was with I think there was like maybe 14 people and everybody that was there wasn't just white people. There was a bit of a mix. It was primarily white people, but
we are in Vancouver.
Yes.
But
there are a lot of
it was all, you know, mid 30s professionals in an expensive city. So there's maybe not a ton of money for extravagances and whatever.
Because socioeconomically, most people are kind of on the same platform, regardless of race.
Yeah. Moving on. So when I was like getting ready, we're going to this cocktail bar, supper club, whatever you want to fucking call it. And I was like, everyone's going to be wearing like the Dave outfit, like a nice
button shirt.
Button shirt and nice dark jeans. Wash jeans, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just regular jeans. Maybe they're chinos, whatever.
99% or 90% chance the shirt will be blue.
Yeah, probably blue or a white with a tiny print, a cute little lightning bolt or something print, something like that.
A little
that.
Fleck of something, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the girls will be wearing like a tank top or a sweatshirt with like a cardigan, like a tank top with a cardigan or like a t-shirt, like a nice sweatshirt, skinny jeans, boots kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it was. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to be wearing that, but I still want to be comfortable. So I wore these black jeans, my skinny black Everlane jeans, high-waisted jeans, and a low-cut black tank top, but this like really bright, I call it my Blanche Devereaux.
Oh, yeah.
But it's that big like kimono style.
Your big dressing gown.
Dressing gown kind of thing. And it's this bright, hilarious, like Hawaiian style print. And just like, you know, earrings. And it was really simple. And black boots, which is all black. With this bright
piece,
and I got so many compliments. Like the waitress came up to me after, she's like, "You had the Blanche Devereaux," because he had already talked to another friend of mine. She's like, "Yeah, that's for Blanche." It was this thing I made, and I love it. And so this like started this whole conversation. Everybody else looked the same, and then I was like, just a teeny tiny little bit different, and I felt like $1 million.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. And people noticed, and it was just the right amount of attention. Yes. I don't want to get tons of attention.
Yeah.
I want to know that I look different and I feel good, but I don't need people like guffawing at like, God, what are you wearing? Like, I don't need that. But I was like,
feels nice.
I feel real nice about this.
Yep.
And normally I fit into the same similar category as you. I'm much more in favor of color, I think.
Yes.
Out of the three of us, the most color is the red stripe on Katie's plaid.
Yes.
Top.
But even then, you were red and yellow and
I like color.
You definitely wear more color than two.
Yeah. I wear like a thin stripe, which is what I'm wearing right now, gray and white. That's about as far as I'll go.
I had one red t-shirt and I wanted to wear it today. Could not find it for the life of me.
Oh, no.
So annoying.
I hate when that happens.
Oh, well.
But I have red jersey, so I might just whip one out for myself. Yeah.
There you go.
When I was getting rid of stuff today, there was three shirts. And I was like, I can't get rid of them. I love them, but they're just like ratty and gross now. Like, if they were in pristine condition, I would absolutely keep them and absolutely wear them. But I have a serger now, so I'm like, I'm going to keep these, and I'm going to make the pattern, I'm going to get some fabric, and I'm going to just make these.
Recreate them, yeah.
Because I cannot get rid of them. They are disgusting, but I can't get rid of them. The other thing I wanted to say before we go off too far off
topic again. Yes, because we're getting the end of our segment here.
On top of all of this, people sort of forget sometimes that ethical fashion can also mean shopping secondhand and shopping vintage.
Yes, absolutely. And that's part of this glam capsule thing was like, it was a lot of vintage and thrifted things.
Yes. So there is a company that you've probably heard it on podcasts if you've listened to podcasts because they do ads on podcasts called ThredUp. And ThredUp is like an online resale community. So it's the thing that I like about it is it's reusing stuff that is perfectly usable and perfectly valuable. It's not getting just tossed away. It's getting going to someone who will use it for a way cheaper price than you'd buy it in the store, which means you are not creating a demand for more shit. You're using an existing resource. People are getting paid for it.
Space in the world.
It's already been made. That decision has already been made by someone higher up feeding of, you know, this
big machine just or
giant
whatever,
maw of consumption. But it's cool because it removes that. It's sort of, and there's thousands and thousands of items on it. I was glancing through it today.
There's something for everybody on there. Poshmark's another one. That's
yeah, like Poshmark,
one.
Yeah. So just think, yeah, you don't have to
and
go
if you
and
don't
buy
have
something
a, like,
new.
We have quite a few consignment stores here in town. Mm-hmm. We're lucky we live in a big city and it's a thing that, and more are popping up every year, these consignment stores. But that's not available to everybody because maybe you live in a small town. Maybe you live in a different part of the world. Maybe that's just not something you have access to. Yeah. This is a great way to do it.
It's a great way. And you can get it shipped as well.
Yeah.
So, and you're spending like, if the code is like $95 or something, you can get it for $20. Like really and truly. Yeah. So it's nice that it's that stuff is getting
and local Facebook
used
groups too. Facebook can be a real cesspool. But I very recently I was on the ferry back from dropping my kids off and I saw a pair of Doc Marten like low cut shoes for like a third of the price of the retail price. The lady wore them literally four times and she's like, "No, I like my boots better. I would never wear these." I'm like, "I will be there today at 3:00 to get them." There you go. Got myself a new pair of Docs, which I've been thinking about for like 3 years and never pulled the trigger on it. Because I'm like, oh, it's $200.
Mm-hmm. Also, any
do I really
of you,
want them? I'm like, well, for $60, I do.
Yeah.
Like, I got $320s in my wallet. Take them.
Swap, clothing swaps too. If you feel like you're, especially now that there's this whole trend of getting rid of stuff, does it bring you joy?
Yeah, man.
No. Everyone is finding stuff that doesn't bring them joy. Do a swap.
Everybody's
with
got
your
shit
friends.
In their closet
I
they don't wear.
I have a lot of joy from shit people. Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Doesn't work for them, but sure shit can work for you.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, everyone is getting rid of stuff right now. It's this whole big thing. I just did it.
It's the beginning of the year. Marie Kondo is all over the place.
Do a swap and get your guy friends to do them too. Like guys.
Yeah, dudes can do them.
Those clothes don't go out of style. Like get on it. Yeah. Don't go buy a new thing if you don't
Nobody
need to.
Nobody wants your t-shirt, your white t-shirt with the yellow ring around
no,
your neck.
No, keep that one.
No, but if it's button downs or dress pants you never wear or whatever.
A delicious flannel.
An old suit that doesn't fit you anymore because you bought it when you were 22 and you're 35 now and there you can't fit
or
the pants
thingy,
anymore.
Yeah, a thing you had to buy for a wedding that were too tight at the time and you just
and you sucked
you
it up
it
the
anyways.
Day of.
Yeah.
And then you've never
the pants
touched
I wore
it.
At Claire's wedding. Speaking which are which. Currently in the giveaway pile.
Yeah.
They're so beautiful.
Oh, man. But hey, man, if you can't make them work,
ugh, nope. some,
let them spark joy with someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is our words of wisdom.
Yes.
Let them spark joy.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we should, I mean, I feel like we really should wrap this up.
Yes, we can move on. So anyway, figure out what works for you. Don't be beholden to this bullshit.
You don't have to look like a giant oatmeal.
But also, if that look gives you joy, then give her shit.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I love that.
Don't feel like you have to buy.
I like frumpy oatmeal sex. I love it. Sign me up.
Especially when it's in a delicious, like, silk linen moment.
Mm, yes. Mm. Like a heavy linen.
Like a heavy linen that's been washed a few times.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
With, like a real funky, weird necklace. Like, weird, or a weird scarf and a
cool tights
purple boot.
Yeah. A kicky shoe.
Yeah.
A kicky shoe.
That shoe, I could do the 10 by 10, but those shoes, I need 10 pairs of shoes.
I was like, can I do the 10 by 10 and then also just whatever shoes?
Can I do 10 by 10 by 10 pairs of shoes? Because that's what I really need.
I can get down to 2 pairs of pants. I can make that work. Maybe even 1 if it's the black Everlane skinnies that go with everything.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna need temporary.
I need temporary shoes. Thank you.
Just my own sanity. Yeah. Sheesh.
Anyway,
yes, we should take a little break.
And then we'll come back.
And then come back.
Obsess.
And talk about. We've had a break to obsess about many things. Yes. So yeah. We'll catch up. We're back. We need to stop talking about Outlander.
We needed to.
It's a good thing we don't record that.
We quickly needed to record our Outlander recap.
It's like, podcast. Do we need to start an Outlander podcast? Maybe we do. Maybe
let me just add that to my fucking schedule.
We have a lot of opinions.
We have lots of opinions
about Outlander, and we're slowly breaking Katie down.
I know.
When our first conversation, Katie just checked out, and now she's like,
"But wait a minute,
And then, okay, if you like Chris the Hemsworths, Jamie Fraser is
going to be right up your.
They have nothing on Jamie Fraser. Not a damn thing.
Nope.
He's right, so noble and powerful and good.
Sweet. Is Jamie Fraser the name
strong
of the
sweetheart
character? Sam Heughan is the
James
guy.
Fraser.
Okay, let me look it up real quick.
He's blonde in real life, but they make him a redhead in the show.
Yeah, he wears a delicious wig.
I am mad at it.
I am not mad at that.
They have great wigs on Outlander, except Claire's hairline this year is just a little too hard for me. They need to pluck that shit out a little bit. This woman's supposed to be in her
50s. Wearing a wig this year. The other years,
I think it was her actual
hair, and they like just permed it or something. Because she has really straight hair in real life, and like they permed it.
Because at the Golden Globes, she had like a nice
wild, crazy hair.
You guys, we have to move on.
At the Golden Globes,
we have to start an Outlander podcast.
Yeah, she had a bob at the Golden Globes, therefore she's wearing a wig this season. Yes. Next,
anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
Obsessions, Outlander, obs. Other than that,
yeah.
Me first.
Yes, go for it. My eyeballs fell on you, so you go first.
Speaking of upgrading the old household.
Yes.
When I was home, this is going to be a bit of a lengthy explanation, but when I was at home, let me go back even farther. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast a couple of times. There's a cabin that my family has gone. It's a backcountry ski cabin in Jasper National Park, and we've gone for years and years. It's paradise. It's a ski-only winter cabin. In like near Maligne Lake. It's absolutely beautiful. Probably my favorite place in the whole world. If I die and get cremated and my ashes
that's where you're gonna
there,
go. Yep.
I'll be rested peacefully. Yes. And it's sort of nestled in between this little valley. And once you sort of get over this one little like hump to get up to where you actually do the skiing and the hiking part, it disappears immediately. Like you can't tell that it's there. You only have to sort of know that it's there to know that it's there because you can't see it at all.
Yeah.
It's just this little magical gem.
Beautiful.
So fast forward, just before Christmas, one of my best friends, Julie, who runs Market Canvas Leather, who we've talked about, she has beautiful bags, Market Canvas.
You have a few of her beautiful bags.
One on the floor right now. She was doing a trade show here in town and I came down to help her strike the show at the end. And, you know, I brought an extra drill so we could take everything out of the wall and all that takedown fun shit that everyone who's ever had to do a trade show knows about. It's
very
not
well.
Fun.
Yes.
So I helped her out with that and we got out in like an hour and a half. It was like record time. It's
boom, never boom,
was
boom.
Like, dang, 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 we're out. So separate from that. Her mom is a painter. I've known her my whole life. We used to spend Christmas with her family every year. She's an amazing painter. Her name is Claude Bucock. Look her up on Instagram. We'll link it. She did this painting of this little cabin. And her intention was to do it for Christmas cards. And everyone in town in Jasper knows this place. Or if you know it, you know it. And if you don't know it, it's this beautiful painting. Okay. Of this little cabin, and she put a little wreath on it. It was this Christmas card idea. Get a cards, get a print, whatever. And so she posted it in early December, late November, early December. And I must have seen it early. Like I must have seen it right after she posted because I was the first person to comment. And it's the most beautiful picture. It was like totally spoke to me.
Yeah.
I was like, I know exactly where that is. Yeah.
It sparks joy.
I know. It sparks
so
joy.
Much joy.
Totally sparks joy. I know exactly where it is. I know exactly like which little hump you ski over to get to the next hump to get to, like I know.
Yeah.
I know it intimately well. It's one of my favorite places in the world and it's a beautiful painting. I have always wanted an original painting of clothes. They're beautiful. They're landscape for the most part. She does lots of other stuff, but I've always wanted an original painting and never thought I would get one. Like, I'm a prince person. That's my budget. Sure.
Yeah. That's what you're looking at.
So anyway, so I was talking to Julie before Christmas and she's like, oh, while you're home, swing by my parents' place. My mom has something for you. I was like, okay, whatever.
Thanks.
Like, no big deal. Right. Like, yeah. I've known her family forever. It's not
out of normal. Yeah.
And
give me a box of cookies or something. Like, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea. Whatever. So I swing by and her house is beautiful. Her, Claude's husband, Julie's dad, is a contractor, and they built this beautiful, well-curated architecture. Beautiful. I guess this amazing house. I've always loved this house. Like, it's not a house for children.
It's a grown-up house.
It is a grown-up house. It is beautiful, and I love it. And I've always wanted my husband to see this house, too, because he would appreciate it.
Yeah.
He's also an artist, so it all fits. Anyway.
Makes sense.
So I stop by and, arrange a time to come by. And we sit down, have a glass of wine. And she's like, oh, I have something for you. I said, Julie said you had something for me. And she's like, yeah, come on in. And she goes downstairs. She comes up and it's the original painting.
Fuck.
I was like, beautiful. I immediately burst into tears.
Did you cry? For sure you cried.
I could not get words out. Yeah. I was like, I never, like, I thought maybe a print.
Sure.
Like, I thought maybe Julie would have arranged a print of this because she knew I love the image right away. It's Christmas. I figured that's what it's for. But no, it was a thank you gift for helping her do the stage or do the strike down from the show. And this, I guess when she phoned or she saw my comment on Instagram, she phoned her mom and was like, put that aside. Yeah. I'll send you some money. Put that aside. I'm going to give it to Katie.
Oh.
And I was like, this bitch fucking, I can never, there's no way I can.
That hoe over there.
Get back at this bitch. I was so.
How dare you be so generous?
How dare
kind.
You?
I know exactly what I want.
You're so happy you're angry and calling her a bitch.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Sobbing, just tears running down my face. I was so.
You thoughtful bitch.
I know. I was so touched. I never thought I would ever own a painting of hers, an original, let alone one of like one my
specific
favorite place
one.
In the whole
yeah.
World. And, so when I brought it home, I was
dream come
everyone
true.
In my family knew this also, by the way.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I got to swing by to clothes and
small town. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they all knew. And so I come home with this beautiful painting and my mom like takes some crap picture of us from high school. Like our like, you know how you get portraits, your fucking grad photos.
Yes.
She's got one of each of us. She's like, throw that out. Get that
out of here.
Put it on the wall. Because we're home for like 10 days. You put that up on
everybody
the wall.
Everybody can enjoy it while you're there.
Yeah, it was a bit surreal and very very humbling.
Yes,
that,
and so special.
And so
that's
special.
Awesome.
So now I'm like, throw everything else in my house. Yeah. I've got one couch and one painting.
Everything else can go.
Get out. But so that is my obsession. It's quite.
And now you can look at
it
all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, so how awesome.
My heart is a little bit.
Your heart grew two sizes that day.
It grows two sizes that day. Very. Thank you. Julie, thank you. Claude, yes,
good
thank
job.
You. So I'll put a good picture job, up. Everyone. But check out Claude's work. It's beautiful landscape. She's amazing. She's super talented. She does these really cool, weird sculptures. She's doing these like weird, like mosaic. Like people in town have been donating her, giving her, like if they break a mug or break like a nice piece of china
something. Or sure, she'll get the pieces.
She's taking them and turning them into these weird, she made like this weird raven lady.
Very cool.
Weird bodice. Anyway, check out her stuff. I'll link it on the
fantastic.
On the website, but that's my obsession.
So nice. So.
Merry Christmas to me.
Aww.
Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
Good things come.
Yes, there you go. We keep commenting some shit on Instagram and people pay attention.
I know.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what about you, Yvonne?
Mine was also a gift and it was some also
like
to paint.
Cradling and clutching. And
cradling it.
Holding gently.
It's some to paint the mug.
Yes.
Beat the mug.
To beat the mug.
My friend Jay Simpson got me a lovely palette from Too Faced.
Jay Simpson knows good face.
Yes. Jay Simpson knows good cosmetics.
Yes.
Jay Simpson knows the techniques.
And good face. Can
Is
make
Jay Simpson...
good face.
Jay Simpson's poet extraordinaire.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Closed my last show.
Yeah, they wore that giant beautiful black.
gown.
Beautiful gown.
Mm-hmm. Gowns, anyway. Beautiful gowns.
Yes.
Gowns and cosmetics.
Yeah. So it's a great palette because it has, I've been doing all of these like reddish moments a la Cody Fern from American Horror Story. Oh. Yeah. But now that in that journey, I was like,
that's a dilf. That's a devil I'd like to fuck.
Devil I'd like to fuck. I mean, the devil would be a white, pretty
dude.
Gay boy.
Blue eyed, blonde guy.
Oh, the smile. You listeners are missing out on the little, real nice little smile. No, it's
there's a meme of a dog smiling with dead eyes. One.
Yeah,
and that was the smile.
Yep.
We'll try and find it. But the what I love about it, it's not something I'd usually love, but it's called.
You would have bought for yourself
the right? Just Peachy palette, and it's all matte, so there's no sparkle.
Yes, by Too Faced.
Even though I love a little sparkle, Too Faced, and it palette. Smells like. Peaches, mm-hmm. And not just like a peach gummy.
Yeah, like fake gross peach.
It smells
candy.
like
it's a nice like, peachy smell.
Like a nice peachy smell. It's so
high
good.
End.
And it has and like what, the reddish like 12 tones.
Colors?
12
nice.
Colors. Peach meringue, peach butter, peaches and cream, peach tea, just peachy, fresh picked, which I love. Mm. Peach cobbler.
That's the first one to go. That's the first one to see the mirror bag.
Yeah, exactly.
Fresh pick. That's what I'm the first one I'm gonna hit pan on.
Yeah.
Peach punch, peach sangria, peach tart, just ripe, which is also really good. It's like a really dark, like aubergine-y brown color.
Yeah, really darky one.
Just like ooh, let's just swatch her.
Nice. Ooh, that's pretty.
Oh, that's nice.
Brown.
On my brown eyes.
Nice big mirror too.
Yeah. Brown eyes can wear all the colors. We've talked about this
which
before.
Is nice.
Brown
yeah.
eyes can wear all the colors.
But I've found that you can't wear red eyes unless you've completely done like all of the skin and taken all the redness out of your face.
You got to color correct that bitch before
you
put it on.
Yeah, color correct.
Yeah, get that green lipstick out and
get that Pantone correct.
Yeah.
Neutralize.
Yes. I need to use like yellow.
I have a NYX palette that's a color correcting palette.
Me too.
Palette, and I use the yellow one and the green one. Mm-hmm. Use the yellow under my eyes because it's very dark and I use the green on my red.
Yeah. And then, like, the parts of my skin that are dull, you're supposed to put, like, pink there.
Just to, like, make it alive.
Yeah, and then you
and then put
foundation on top.
Or BB cream or whatever on top.
Yeah. But it's been fun getting more into makeup because usually it was just, like, skin correction and brows and a little bit of, like clear mascara and sorting out my facial hair. And that was that. Yeah. But, like...
It's fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. And I've always done makeup on, like, special occasions and stuff. And now it's just... If I'm having like a shit day, I'm just like, I'm going to take 10 minutes and put an eye on and just kind of.
When the kids were gone, I did a full face of makeup every day.
Nice.
And it was great. I only really know how to do the one.
It's fine.
But I really like it. And I like the way it looks.
And I'm like getting into this world of.
And I took like the full half an hour. It wasn't like, ooh, what four things can I throw on my face? It's like, no, it's all going on. The primer, the color corrector, the concealer.
Yeah. A good hour in front of the mirror.
Oh, it's great.
And make sure everything's nice and blended and like everything's in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
So like.
A little powder on top.
Yeah. Let it set. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then put the cream highlighter on top after the powder so it doesn't like. Dull.
I was like, then you know, the highlighter doesn't even show up.
Then it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Put the matte powder on.
Might as well not put it on at all.
You guys, this is all news to me.
Yeah. Katie's like, oh boy, Outlander and then makeup. Woo!
Trying to keep up here.
Let's just gaze into the middle distance into like a trance.
She's one
plotting her exit strategy.
She's just thinking about that painting.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much joy it brings her.
No, I've said my one makeup experience where I was like a full. Trying to do a full makeup and I was like 13 or 14 and I got a foundation not knowing how to do anything and I put it on and I got to my jawline
and just stopped
and just sort of stopped and then my mom started looking at me. She like pulls me into the bathroom. She's like, honey, you got a blend and she just starts smearing the bottom of my face and I was like, well, I am never doing this again. That was the last time
lesson.
I put on foundation.
Yeah, I learned my lesson.
Yeah, I will never do this again.
Oh boy.
Thanks, Mom.
And you turned out fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah. But in conjunction with that, I have a two-parter. I watched the Kevin Aucoin documentary on Netflix.
Oh, I want to see it so bad.
So good.
Oh, those makeup books. He had two makeup books. One where he transformed people to look like other
making
people.
Making faces.
Yes. And then the other one, which I'm totally blanking on right now.
God, what is it?
What are you talking about?
Kevin Aucoin was the first celebrity makeup artist.
The most famous makeup artist ever.
Yeah. He's the one who like created the supermodel look.
Yes.
Basically. Like that like carved out eyelid.
Early
90s. Brown lip.
Yeah, skinny eyebrows, dark lips.
Like the high art.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
And he had this one book where he got like Christina Ricci and made her look like Greta Garbo. And he took Julia Roberts and made her look like, what's her name from Dr. Zhivago? Julie Christie.
Yeah.
And he did, like, he did, and
amazing.
He did.
Like, I remember seeing this when I was like 13, 14.
Yes, and I remember seeing that.
The fuck, this magic is blowing my mind right
Winona
now.
Winona Ryder as Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Which is a mind fuck because it looks exactly like her. And she's like leaning up against the bedpost a la Cat on Hot Tin Roof. Yeah.
In the negligee, in the curls.
In the black.
Yes.
I do remember seeing those.
Yeah. Fuck. I have to watch it.
Yeah, it's really good.
What's his name?
They interview everybody.
Yeah, because everybody fucking loved him.
Cindy Crawford, Tina Turner, Celine Dion, Cher. Like, everybody.
Yeah.
He did everybody's makeup. God, Janet Jackson.
I totally forgot that existed until right now. Thank you for reminding me. I will watch that. Now that I've watched my Outlander, I have space in my schedule now.
It's a sad watch.
Of course,
if anyone knows his life, he dies. Yeah. But it's a really interesting story because they go over again and again and again how common it is now for like beauty bloggers to be so famous, and a lot of them probably are just as rich as he was back then. But he did it all on his own. Yeah. There was no Instagram helping him.
Yeah. He just did the work.
Was nice to be around.
Showed up, made people look fantastic, made connections with people, made friends who will now talk about him. 20-something years later, or whatever, even more, 30 years later. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Kevin O'Quan.
A-U-C-O-I-N.
What was the name of the doc?
Making Faces, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Two-Face and Making Faces.
Yeah.
You're all about the face.
Face. Giving face. Serving face. That's enough for me.
Marvelous.
Makeup.
Faces. Oh, boy. Me. My obsession started over the holidays. Now that we're in our new house, and we actually bought like an actual real grown-up dining room table. Like, it's more than two people. It isn't super rickety. Mind you, we got this beautiful this dining room table at West Elm, of all places, and we had this big, beautiful tag about how it's all ethically sourced and fair trade and, like, totally sustainable and ethically made. Good to know that exists at West Elm, which is just like a high-end IKEA some of the times. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we have now obsessed with puzzles. We are doing so many puzzles. 1,000-piece puzzles is our jam. White Mountain brand is our jam. We have done, I think this is our fourth one in less than a month.
What do you do after you finish it?
We just throw it back in the box.
Oh my God.
Sit and look at it for like a few hours. Like, leave it for like a day maybe and just look at it. It feels real good to like rub your hand over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels nice. And then just throw it back in the box. And then we're doing puzzle trades with other people who are also like,
ooh, puzzle trades.
Because once you do a puzzle once, what the fuck are you gonna do with it? That's you hard. Trade it for somebody, another one. So, well, I got my cousin who, like, we did one that was History of Television, and it's this big giant one with every, I think the most recent character was like SpongeBob, so anything like,
I think Dave talked about that on his podcast.
Yes, Dave probably talked about it on his podcast. But it had, as Dave pointed out, more redheads than black people.
Cool.
Because that's what TV looked like in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s,
in the majority
early
of
90s.
TV.
Yeah. He's like,
there has been a
Lucy Ball. Yeah, Lucy Ball is on here twice. And then there's like three black people.
Yeah. Cool.
Anyway, astute observation, David.
And none of them were probably leading roles.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Or like Eric Estrada from Chips, I guess he counts.
That guy from ER.
Anyway.
That one black guy. From ER.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eric LaSalle.
Yeah.
Doctor, I forget his name now. Anyway.
His name is Dr. Doctor.
Doctor, mm-hmm. Handsome black doctor.
Doctor? Doctor.
But yeah, my cousin messaged me and she's like, look into this one. They have a good one. This company's good. You should check them out. And then we did. And we're like, well, we have three puzzles. We have three more puzzles. And we live right near a toy store, which has a huge puzzle selection.
I like puzzles.
So we can just walk over and buy a puzzle sometime. I just started one the other day that was the 1990s. And it's all shit from Bill Clinton's on there literally four times.
Okay, calm down.
But it has things like Jurassic Park and Beavis and Butthead. And then the Oklahoma bombing. And
are they like collage
Waco
style?
Like, yeah, they're painted, like hand-painted, hand-drawn, hand-painted. Oh. Like just like all jammed together, all these floating heads all kind of jammed together. There's a frame around the outside. They're like TV screens.
Oh, okay.
They're like still like those, what do they call those moments? The, you know, flashbulb moments or whatever, when everybody knows that particular image. Like, you know, the blown out building in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, before your time. But they're very satisfying. And then Dave, I don't know, Dave and I have different techniques.
What's do you do yours? The frame
of
first?
What, no, see, I don't.
What?
I sort them first.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Because I just like to put them aside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I like to look for, like, there was one we did, it had a lot of words in it. So I just tried to, it had just a lot of quotes just like in between the pictures. And we're not doing ones that are like a polar bear in a snowstorm. That's not what we're doing.
Yeah. No.
Or weird geometric shit that's just like a bunch of colors together. Yeah. I'm not interested in that. Like, it has to be.
Just give me a straight up puzzle.
Just give me a puzzle that's interesting and cool and busy with a bunch of shit. Yeah. And I can look for this specific hand that has a red hand and a blue boot and half a star. Like, I'm going to find that.
Yeah.
The other ones do not spark joy.
No.
For me. But anyway, they're great. It's very satisfying. And between Dave and I have our own different techniques.
You're probably banging them out.
Yes. We're making it happen.
Did you get the roll? The puzzle roll?
We did get the roll, but doing it on the felt sucks.
Yeah, because you can't just slide them around and move them around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to put them in flat.
Yeah.
Because it's like to try to get that piece of felt flat.
Right.
Sucks. Dave did go to Home Depot and have a piece of particle board cut so we can like move it from table to table. If we need to actually use a dining room table, we can like put it on the kitchen island and then
make like a little lazy Susan.
Your dedication to this puzzle.
And then, I mean, it's just a piece of particle board that we can just put in the closet like when we're not using it. Takes up no space and costs like $7 or something.
Well, now I want to do a puzzle.
It's good time. We got a bunch. We just got Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band one. It looks real
cool.
It's not the album cover. It's just them in the outfits.
Oh.
But still.
That'd be a good one.
Anyway, so we're on puzzle train right now. And it's very fun.
That is fun.
And they're like $20.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you go to thrift stores too and get them cheaper. Or get a couple and do swaps with your friends.
Yeah. I do like
that. It's a good time. We're eating at the kitchen island. Now that we have this beautiful coffee table. A beautiful dining room table.
It's covered in puzzles.
Oh, yeah. It's covered in puzzles. And the kids won't fucking sit at the table anyway. So we're just leaning in. Kids
picking
eat in front
your
of the
battles.
TV. We eat the island. Puzzle is undisturbed. Everybody wins.
Until one of those puzzle pieces goes missing.
Oh, that baby's not
that baby.
That baby's not allowed near that puzzle. Because she'll fully just come over and just knock them all on the floor just because she can. She's a little monster.
Well, she doesn't know better.
That's how she rolls. Oh, she knows better now. She's getting old enough to know better. She looked you right in the eye and just go whoosh.
Oh, like a cat. Yeah. That's fun.
Screaming.
And then you have the realization. This bitch is testing me.
This fucking bitch.
She's anyway.
I love you more than life itself, but you're testing me.
Testing me right now. Anyway.
I love you. Don't ever do that again.
Oh, well.
Well, you guys, this has been a real nice
catch-up.
It's
been a blast.
Thank you, all of you, for listening.
Yes. Get back to us, obviously. We'd love to hear from you.
The happiest of New Year's to you all.
Yes.
We've had some lovely messages from listeners all over the globe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good time.
In the last couple of months, over their Instagram or...
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Emails and stuff. Mm-hmm. We're trying to... I got my Instagram. I posted a picture of Billy Porter in that beautiful cape.
Yes.
That is my attitude for 2019. Making
That's
it happen.
What brings you joy.
Yes. Billy Porter brings me joy. Mm-hmm. Every time I set eyes and ears on that man. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
I got some really nice feedback from our listeners and followers about the dolls. About my dolls.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you posted about them on Instagram.
Yeah. And so thanks. Cute. That was really nice.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
So, yeah. Get at us.
Get at us.
Instagram and email and... Fashion Hags all over the place. Go to our website. You'll have all the details.
All the details, all the obsessions are there.
Yeah, well, Katie will lovingly curate a bunch of links for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And streaming links and things for the episodes themselves. And
Don't forget to rate and subscribe on iTunes.
Yes, please.
Or wherever you get your podcast. That's cool, too.
That'd be great. Thank you.
That really, really does super actually helpful. Help a lot. Yeah. And thanks for listening. And you guys.
You guys.
You guys. Remember.
We love you.
Oh, we love fashion more.
True. Brings
what
us
they,
joy.
What they said. Yeah, that sparks my joy. Right, yeah. There. There you go. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.